Blog Talk Radio.
Chinupa Guhamani, co-host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light, every Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m., brings on guests from various Native tribes and states to discuss the oppression Native Indians are being subjected to. Here, strong, hot dog soldiers will introduce their lives with a prayer and end in a song. So welcoming again your co-host, Chinupa Guhamani, and guests.
Thank you, Sister Leona, for having us on again. Mitakepi and all the people that are tuned in and that called in, I thank all of you for attending. So I'm going to start us off with a prayer again, an opening prayer, as we always do. Na wamak haska isha tone hechu se eung tu jabun ko kipsi. Khatia topa khat hanka oyate kolachi api. Wambali oyate kolachi api. E khaka oyate kolachi api. Sinte sapra kolachi api. Leon petu ki ake chonupa gulha mani wa hiu take na woche ki hiu chi chap na wakata ke. Wak khat hanka ki chi mane tuk isha wa hoa ke. Kuta ke ea tona ha. Ankata unchi ma kao mani ki. Unchi nisha ekti juri o akisni. Pkhali wanki chuna unkai tapo ake. Ikcheri chakse na uyaki le na isha. Ktala onhina zib na woche kina. Tako kas I wong laka oktiki le. Kukata ki hechum se eong na ka. Leon petu hoshi chapi. Ho metaki eki. Well, good evening for another interesting show after the holiday of National Day of Mourning. I wanted to open it up with, you know, an understanding that is very detrimental to the Native people in our state of South Dakota and elsewhere. And when I say elsewhere, I'm talking about every state within the Western Hemisphere in the Northern region, South Dakota, North Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, and Nebraska. Any places with large population of indigenous people and our brothers and sisters of African descent, we are always subjugated and being under attack because of how this new world order is coming about, where they want to get rid of the red and the black population of people. Well, I'm sorry, folks. It really insults me when the outgoing president really took responsibilities in a different manner and started aiming it towards people that done nothing to him, personally, physically, mentally, and spiritually, and otherwise. And so with that understanding, as we continue on with our dialogue of understandings and descriptions of what we're talking about. Don't forget how poets use their understanding to outline a situation. And also don't forget how priests use the benevolent behavior to neutralize the rights of human beings. And I mean the children, especially the boys and little girls. And don't forget the other part, how politicians do it. Notice I said three P's, didn't I? The poets, the priest, and the politician. Those are open sentiments that I want to give you all. So we begin the show with anybody that wants to start with a topic. Go right ahead.
So this is Jenny from Lander, Montana, and I'm just going to go with the flow. So I won't go first, but I'm new, so I'll go with the flow, but I do get a lot of things.
Well, go right ahead. If you want to start, you can, Jenny. Go right ahead. It's glad to meet you. Thank you for coming on tonight's show.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Chinupa, so, you asked me to continue where I left off last week, I think.
You can do that, too. And whoever's jumping on, don't be hesitant. Come on.
Okay. We last week we were talking about the Native way of life and medicine, and but we are also talking, I guess, about the Christianity, and I was telling about my brother, who's a medicine man, but he's also about Catholic. So he would use his spirits, but then he would use the Holy Ghost too in certain matters. So I used that, but then when I had gone to Afghanistan, I would have that the bear would come visit me, you know, before we'd be attacked. And then another time I had been over there, and it was one of my last trips to Afghanistan. I did several in 4.5 years. You know, I was all the I guess that cortisol that's built up in you from hearing the bombs and the gunfire and all that stuff. That, you know, so you're got a chemical imbalance because, you know, that cortisol is only meant to be released when, you know, for a fight or flight situation. And what would happen there is, you know, we would get those explosions and you don't know, you're getting ramped up for a fight, but it never comes. So then you're, you know, you're kind of ready to go all the time. But when you come back here, you know, it works over there, but when you come back here, it doesn't work so well because, you know, when you hear a door slam, you know, you just, your heart drops to your stomach and your blood goes cold and you just want to, you want to get violent but it's your daughter who's slamming the door and she's, you know, playing. So that really, I really had a hard time with that. And I went back to Afghanistan on this trip and I was really kind of messed up, you know, with that imbalance. And there was a point in there where I had I thought about taking my own life, you know, but I, you know, it just flashed to my brain, but how you know, that'd be a pretty horrific scene for everyone, devastating. So I prayed. Man, I prayed hard. I prayed to God, prayed to Creator, and I asked for help, you know. And that I went to sleep that night. I was in a place where it was vast, you know. It went on forever, but it was black, and I was alone, you know. I was there. I couldn't see my hand in front of my face, you know, but I knew where I was at, like this blackness had never ended. And so I began to pray, and off in the distance, way off in the distance, like on the horizon, I seen the light. And the next thing I know, this woman is standing in front of me, you know, and she's probably about maybe 8-9 feet tall, you know. She had this gown on. And it was white, but there was like the light was kind of coming through it. And she had a real fair complexion. I couldn't really make out her hair that well, but it was brief. Because one minute she was there, one second she was there, next thing she's standing in front of me. And she tells me to take off my shirt. So I took off this shirt that I was wearing, and the shirt I had on was white. And when I handed it to her, it had all of these stains on it. I mean, these black stains, you know. I mean, like black like coal. And they covered the whole shirt. And I gave her that shirt, and she gave me like a brand new crisp white shirt, you know. And I put that on. So I woke up, and it was morning, you know. And I had I knew everything that I had felt, that, you know, that everything would be good, you know, because I prayed for help, and this help came to me. But the way it came to me, it wasn't like I expected. You know, it wasn't a bear, it wasn't, you know, a deer, it wasn't those spirits. It wasn't that, the medicine side, the native side. It was more, you know, from the heavens. So I had that dream, and when I woke up, to me, it felt like I woke up and I had, when you wake up and you break a fever, you know, and you're kind of weak, but you know you're going to get your strength back. And that's how I felt after that experience. And, you know, those were a couple of the experiences I had while I was over there. And, you know, just kind of relaying how, you know, when you pray to God, that you don't necessarily know what that meant, what that, what the help that's going to come to you, you don't know what it's going to be like, because every time you think it's going to be one way, it turns out it's a total different experience than what you expect for, you know. But anywho, I just wanted to say that part and finish that story that I was telling last week. Help.
Thank you.
Brother Lanny, that's a pretty good sentiment. You know, a lot of our people had experiences with the upbringings of Christianity. Some of it is really, really detrimental and bad for our people because of how the indoctrination took on that responsibility. And as we continue on, I want us all to keep in mind what I expressed earlier at this understanding of tonight's show. I talked about poets. I also talked about priests, and I talked about politicians. And one of the transmissions to that, okay, is the eloquency of what, you know, Americans do, past and present, vice versa. But that type of understanding needs to be brought into a strong conclusion of what we're talking about tonight, as the future is being, you know, subjugated to the well-being of Native people and our, you know, our African brothers and sisters here in our country. So keep that in mind, and the other callers that called in, you can introduce yourselves again, and I'm going to turn it over to who else is on the line that really wants to contribute to tonight's edification show. So whoever's online, go right ahead.
All right, Jenny Pipe here from Lame Deer, Montana, Northern Cheyenne Country. I started a page called The Cheyenne Truth, and me and my brother Keenan. There was another page called Echo in the Light, and they kind of brought light to girls that have been sexually abused, men that have been sexually abused. And there was one gentleman that stood out, and he happened to sexually abuse my brother Keenan that I was on the show with. And we kind of went with that. And, you know, since that started, it's a real long story, but there was talk about getting me floated. And there was, I got jumped recently over it. I was the only one that was put in jail. And when Lenny just spoke about war and PTSD, it affects anybody that went through trauma. And these individuals, when they see me talking about it and caring, there was one night where I had 88 private messages from people in Lame Deer that were abused. The next day I had 52, and a lot of them were, you know, priests, ceremonial men, cops, BIA, IHS workers. And I got asked, our, you know, to if I could be on this show with you guys, because it keeps getting hushed, and it's politics, and I really see Northern Cheyenne Nation getting weakened. Almost like the end of Northern Cheyennes in a way, roundabout. You know, we're killing ourselves. We're masking it with drugs and alcohol. It's generational. No one cares. People are scared. Murders are happening, and there's no law. And when you try to get, like we had People's Camp, try to do something good, it gets shut down.
If I may elaborate. Elaborate something.
What does elaborate mean,
Jenny? Elaborate means to kind of give you an understanding with that to the direction of where you're bringing out about what's happening on your reservation to your tribal members because of the sexual molestation and abuse. I want us to also remind ourselves, too, that even in the kingdoms of white supremacy through Christianity, Jesuits has used this type of denomination and dominion as a granted commission. Again, hear me, granted commission. What does that entail? That people of color, whether they are chastised and be called heathens or worthless, you know, merciless savages, and the higher monarchs of Christianity use that behavior. This is how rape, incest, debauching families begin, because of the Holy Roman Catholic version of religion and education. So as we continue on with tonight's show, what Jenny has brought out in that type of understanding as a previous discovery, I want us to recognize that, because Human rights are being violated every day, every second, every moment. As it's not only the people that are disabled in the mindsets of their older, elder capacity, it's also our baby children. So I will it back to you, Jenny.
So with that, it does. It started with boarding schools when we got stripped of our language and, you know, told to do dirty things to each other so that we felt shamed. Around here, it's still happening, and I don't know how to let people are opening up to me, but it's we need some kind of a healing and to just to like pray about it, but also to get it out because we're so used to hushing it up because. My mom, when she was sexually abused, it did. It started with her dad, and then he would take her to the kitchen table and read verses out of the Bible. And it's so far back, it's so generational and lawless that we just keep doing it to mask and mask, and we're murdering and we're hurting each other. And all I'm doing is I'm just trying to listen to people and bring awareness to the pedophiles that they know we're out here and we're listening, because most of the people that are hurting have been hurt themselves. But it's not even a jail thing for me or anything. It's making Northern Cheyenne strong again. Someone told me that we're known now, well, somewhat known as the sodomistic county of Montana. It's so sad and gross and, I don't know.
Okay,
really
this is
testing.
This is Bernice.
Her. Yeah, go ahead, Bernice.
Well, I have some questions for Jenny Pipe. You talk about ceremonial men who are predators. So how did this exposure come about into the open? How did you come across that knowledge?
I go live on the Cheyenne Truth, and I was talking freely about my mom's story, and people must just see my heart and honesty and felt safe with me, and so they would private message me and tell me their predator's name, how long it's been happening, when it happened, who it was, where it was, what age, and that they're still practicing all their ceremonial stuff, and they're scared to come out because no one's going to listen to them. So they just feel a little bit better opening up to me and just knowing that I'm not going to mention any names, but just that they gut it out, because I think the people, if they ever tried to tell, it's like, don't say that. That didn't happen. It's going to embarrass the family. He wouldn't do that. And so you hold it in, and it is. It's like a cyst, and you get sick, and it's not a good way to live. So that's where that came about. One of them was, one was a 6-month-old baby.
And so could you elaborate on that a little bit more? Was it a foster child or somebody in the family or group home?
It was actually a teenage brother. So the teenage brother hurt the 6-month-old baby.
So did law enforcement ever get involved in that?
They took her to the clinic, and she got sent to a bigger hospital. She went through some surgeries and stuff, but nothing ever got followed through. No one around here came and checked up on them.
Wow. That is really sad to hear. And then I know that I have been watching your page for like 2 months now. And at first I was like, yeah, well, you know, these guys, you know, they're just, it's a community thing, you know, they're just, it's banter going back and forth. But then as I started to watch your page, there was one particular name that kept coming up in a lot of the conversations and the videos. And this was a sex offender that was charged back in December 11th, 2013. And so all of these allegations are starting to resurface again. And so I'm pretty sure you know who I'm talking about. Because
yes.
That is all over social media, the charges. And I don't know if we're allowed to say the name or not, but even with the charges out there, so with all of the allegations that are resurfacing, could you tell us a little bit more about that and how many people have came to you in confidence about being sexually assaulted by this one man personally?
Personally was my brother Keenan. I have relatives that have came through. There was a There was a teenage boy. There was a gentleman who got on Facebook and said I was assaulted by him at a house party. I have a relative. He does not live here anymore, and he was actually sodomized by this individual. So there's probably seven that I know personally that have been affected by this guy, and they are family members that have came, like, opened up to me and told me.
And these are his family members?
These are his family members. Some of them. There's probably four that are his family members, and then three that aren't.
Are there any juveniles involved in these assaults?
When it took place, yes. A lot of them are over the age of 18 now.
And so with all of this information, I mean, because, you know, we're talking a wide variety of sexual assaults and sexual offenses on the Northern Cheyenne tribe, you know, from ceremonial men to a dentist molesting a Native child, like, foster care, and then this adult male that's Northern Cheyenne, Northern Arapaho. So with all of these people, has anybody ever went to file a police report? And has anybody ever went to the FBI and filed that sexual assault report with them so that something can be done about it? Because on social media, his name comes up, and yes, he was charged December 11th, 2013, of a sexual offense. So do you know if he has to register from here on out as a sexual offender, or do you have any kind of information?
You know what, with that, I'm not too sure. On one of those cases, it says that he is going to be going back to court, so like it didn't show.
Mm-hmm.
With the law around here, and I think with any place, it's kind of like overwhelming. And people, you kind of know, like, it's too much work, and then you get shut down. So it's really
mm-hmm.
easy just to go and get drunk and forget about it. You know, go and get high and forget about it. Because sometimes you don't have the family that supports you and gets you through, like, lack of education. You don't know who you're calling. How are you even going to get there if you have to go talk to the FBI? Sometimes you don't even want to go talk to the jail because the officers who are taking your statement have hurt you. And it really is easy just to stay stuck in it. And I think that's where it went. There might be one family that is trying to push it, but I don't
mm-hmm.
know anything on that yet.
Yeah. And then, okay, like, here's another question, and this is going to be an interesting question, and I don't know if you're going to have a valid answer, but with the current law enforcement situation, because I know you had mentioned once before that even the security or law enforcement, their police officers, they were raping individuals there on the Northern Cheyenne Reservation. So I know that people don't have the knowledge or they don't have the outlets or the information, but do you think that these individuals that were assaulted by law enforcement, do you think that they made a complaint to the Department of Justice?
One I know for sure did not, and she actually moved away and has never, ever came back.
Wow.
The other one, there is one lady who is a registered sex offender, and she actually worked at a daycare and sodomized the children with vegetables. And she is with the traffic security that the tribe hired. And she she's with that COVID security.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine being the victim and knowing that all your predators are getting jobs at security and we're parading them around our reservation during Inauguration Day? And everybody talks, you know, about, and I love ceremonial ways and our ways, but it's real hard to take it serious when you're sitting, you're hearing it from the person who hurt you, and it's at every direction. And then you got white dentists who come down here and abuse our children because they know they can get away with it because no one gives a damn and no one's going to say anything. We're murdering each other like Kaimani at Crazy Heads. And absolutely nothing happens.
Well, I also have another question. You know, with everything that's going on over there, I really applaud your involvement with your community and on your reservation. I think that's really brave of you. And it's going to take more people than just you to bring that out. And so I'm like kind of worried about your safety in that community because you were already jumped, and I seen the video, partial of the video on social media. So is there anything else that they're trying to do to quiet you, to keep you from exposing all of these sexual abuses that happen on your reservation?
You know what? Probably sitting here right now, there's probably a group of people coming up with a story to get rid of Jenny Pipe. They already are trying to float me for just getting on here and speaking the truth because I'm not enrolled here. They have, you know, jumped me for opening, bringing awareness, and talking about it. I was the only one arrested and put into a car. They took statements from everybody else, and when the cops were there, you know, I got one last kick to the face, and then I got spit on. My thumb almost got bit off, and the cops didn't do anything about that, and that's when I knew, okay, I better be quiet because no one's really caring right now. They're probably coming up with everything to do to me, and I'm not too scared because I do. I live a good life, and I do good things, and I pray, and I believe. But I really think God opens doors when you're doing something that you, for a change. And if he doesn't want them open, he's going to close them. And when this radio show came up, it just showed me that another door is being opened. So I'm really not too scared.
Mm-hmm. So then when these individuals jumped you, could you tell our listening audience whether they were directly related to the sexual predator that you are trying to expose on the Northern Cheyenne Reservation?
Yes, it was the predator's sister, both sisters, his nieces, and his mother and his father.
Wow. So you must be really hitting something, and it's provoking a reaction in them
mm-hmm.
to protect a predator. Okay, so then there's another thing that you had mentioned before, because this man is an actual sex offender.
Yes.
And yes, he was charged in 2013. So why do you think that the Northern Cheyenne president on the Billings Gazette had this predator in a war bonnet when he carries that kind of background? What do you think made her parade him around and promote him on a pedestal like that. Do you think that's sick thinking, or do you think that she not knows about that, or do you think that they're all hiding something because they're all protecting him?
You know what? You couldn't shock me with anything. They could be in a whole sex ring together. It's such reservation life is so close knit. When Donna, our new president, was running for tribal president, she was running up against Gene Small. Gene Small is a relative of mine, and I really like what he's for. So I was pushing for Gene Small. They probably didn't like that. Melissa Fisher, who got on for the Ashland seat for the council, she was the one who messaged the predator's sister and said, "Don't worry, we're working on a way to float Jenny." And so I saw that, and then I just started kind of bringing up awareness, like, why would you guys do that? Why are you covering up for this guy? Why are you trying to float me when you should be floating other people for those reasons, you know, murders, molesters? Why is it just me for having a word? And then the guy who is the predator, he was kind of the PR for Donna. And so I think after they jumped me, Donna and Melissa and the rest of the council were kind of proud of him. Like, yeah, you shut that girl up, you know? And I think they were really proud of that. Let's let him get on the float and pray and let him be in the parade, and we'll personally ask him to be in it. Because I don't think that people truly listen to people when we say they're a sexual predator. No one wants to hear that, and no one wants to believe it.
Well, that's kind of like human nature. When people are exposed for their own behavior, and they know that the behavior is out of line in all aspects of life, it's called denial. And when people in high positions like that, they're either in denial, like they're parading him around, because I've seen that picture on the Billings Gazette myself. So I wasn't aware of his previous sexual abuse charges before. So that tells me that they're advocating wholeheartedly, knowing that this man was charged with a sex crime in 2013. And so if all of these people on the Northern Cheyenne Reservation are asking everybody for help to bring this predator to justice, and the Northern Cheyenne Council, they're all putting him on a pedestal, then that tells me everybody has sick behavior, and they're participating in that. And they think it's normal when it's not. And so psychologically, that is really alarming, because then you go back to that statement of being the sodomistic capital of Montana, and that couldn't be more farther from the truth, because they're putting him up on the pedestal. They're advocating for predators. They're advocating for molesters and molestation. They're advocating for rape victims, you know, and rapists. And so that's really an alarming behavior for
an
adult to engage in.
Can you imagine being a victim? There's no way, if I saw our tribal leaders parading that guy around, I could not, I would never go to the police, because I would be scared.
So then, with all of the people that are victimized there, has anybody came to you and told you that they were afraid to come out and make the report? Because after all, you got jumped by the predator's family. So what would that do to the actual victims trying to make a report?
98% of the 140 private messages I got were they were too scared to go, and I was the only person they felt safe telling. They really didn't want me to say their name, predator name. They just wanted me to hear their story and and that's kind of it.
So you
Hold on, Bernice. Sisters, this is both of you, okay? Just let me jump in here now. I got to jump in here to really, really target this avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I sat back and listened to everything that's going on. I've been up to Lame Deer for the past 10 months, on and off, even when this COVID-19 coronavirus struck the reservation. They had a camp by your four-way, your roundabout.
Yeah.
I was there. I helped a lot of my, you know, Notete Mesta, my, you know, Nechista people, because I'm part Cheyenne. I've helped them bring kids back, protect elders, fight against things that were very corruptive there. And during those times I've been there, why haven't you come about when Chinupa and his dog soldiers were there? I know you know your tribal kinships, and this is not an attack on you, okay? Don't take it into left field. Now, listen, hear me what I'm going to say. I met your dog soldiers. I met the Three Fingers family. I also met Tweety and them from your Alcorn Scrapers. My late brother, Tim Lamewoman, was a member of the Alcorn Scrapers, but he passed away. And so there's other people that came to mind that were doing things in a different measure, but this is the first time and only time I'm hearing it. When I was there, everything was pointed to how the corruption was with the tribal government, the corruption of the BIA police department, and the corruption of how the tribal government was allowing drugs to come in. And this is the kind of, you know, behavior that brings everything out, because once and for all, let's really focus on this, okay? And hear me, because this is also aiming to you, Sister Bernice. Listen real carefully.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Today, we think, we act, we talk, and we behave just like a white man. Those are five elements, okay?
Yep.
We do. Listen to ourselves. And all these things that are happening in any circle, whether it's Pine Ridge, Cheyenne River, elsewhere, Lame Deer, Ethity, if you have traditional kinships of your warrior societies, like we have down here in Pine Ridge, we have two serious ones, the Kit Foxes and Strongheart, the Dog Soldiers and the Kit Fox Society. These two are very serious in protecting the people in general. Now, the reason why I bring this understanding up, all the years I've been there, why haven't you come out when I even had meetings with my brother Tim's sister, Nally, in your tribal headquarters and in different areas on the Lame Deer Reservation? And one of the children's family members that I fought for to get those grandkids back into his custody was my brother Max. And a grandmother that was adopted, that adopted me into the family, kept wanting me to come back. But here on my the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation and elsewhere, I deal with all these matters that are very open. Why now did it take you this long to bring it out? Why weren't you setting meetings? Why weren't you working with Nally and Tweety of the Alcorn Scrapers and many other people that are trying to do something? What kind of cautioned you not to bring and get involved with them? Once I can figure out the notice of how this came about to aim it where it's at, I'll answer all the questions for you, because we are looking at something that pertains to our children. We are also looking at something that pertains to our men, adolescent men and women, and our elderly, grandmother and grandfather. And all of these elements are going to go back into this whole, this dominion of how this behavior came about. Because if you go back into ancient history from 1492, and you go back into 1455, and then you go further back, you go back to 1313, when the very first white man ever came over here. They were Vikings, 1313. But they see in this country of Turtle Island was populated with people of color. They left their gifts, they got back on their ships, and they left and they never came back. History is told in two different categories that make us look bad. We're never a good people, the indigenous people in the Western Hemisphere known as Turtle Island. I hate that crass term, America. So when Americanized people get caught under that philosophy of that demise, we think, we behave, we act, we talk just like a white man. So this is where I'm trying to look at. Every reservation has a group of men. They're societies. They have to be, because I've seen it when I was in Lamedale. But all of a sudden, nobody's bringing about this kind of involvement of what's happening to our people. Now, Jenny, can you kind of give me some bits and pieces and answer that to your best characteristic?
Heck yeah. You ready?
Yes.
Okay, so I worked at IHS for many, many years. We've always been told, you know, we can't get involved in stuff like that. You know, we can't be getting on social media. So I resigned from there, and I've always known about sexual abuse. You know, I've just heard it from my mom, and it's in my family. I just always protected my kids. Tweety is very, very close with my family, and my husband is in that society, Elkhorn Scrapers. Brandon, when that camp first started, it was a society camp, and women aren't allowed around that camp. So anytime they would have meetings, it wasn't my place to go in there. I'm learning about all this ceremonial stuff and traditional stuff from my husband. I wasn't raised that way. It was the first time that I knew you were down there. I never knew you were down here before. And if I knew that I could come and talk to you or do something like that, I would have. But I just kind of stayed in my lane, knew like it was the men were doing it. And it wasn't really, it was an issue, but it wasn't an issue until I started Cheyenne Truth. And my brother Keenan opened up about the predator. And then when it went off out of that, then everybody like opened up to me. Then I was just like, wow, this is so incredibly huge. And you can't really go. I didn't feel comfortable even talking to a lot of the guys in the societies, because a lot of the guys in the societies are the ones who are hurting these people, are sexually I don't know what you call that, but like sexual assault at IHS, and they're in charge. You know, they're Sundance priests. And I didn't know where my place was in there, because I know it is very serious. And women, women don't go in there and tell society men, like, this is what's happening, this is what you guys should do. So I was just trying to be respectful with it. And when I opened up on Cheyenne Truth is when it exploded. And for some reason, that's when God had it planned that the mouth and the gates are going to be open. You know, there's a time and a place for everything. And for some reason, the time is now. And I don't know what happened in the thing, but I was really just kind of staying in my lane and respecting that, because I didn't want to overstep it and then do you kind of get where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I understand it real clear. Now, let me kind of blow this wide open now. I'm going to do two things.
Okay.
Do you speak Cheyenne?
No.
Okay. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to speak Cheyenne to you. And certain words that come out of my mouth, pick them, because they're direct to your current situation that's happening there, because I still get calls from Lemdia. And this is why I do this, because not only do I speak Cheyenne, I speak Lakota, Mexica, French, and English. I didn't want them, but my grandfather gave them to me because of my blood, which I am Shahila. Nota Temesta, Nichista, and Mexica, Nahua. And French I learned on my own when I was over in France. I went over as an exchange student when I was in college. So hear me on this. But okay, man, not this. Be on me. Get on the head, not stop, my son. Back on me. My son, I'm out of my hair, get on. Him on. And not bit. But okay, hey, nah, nah, nah. But soon they forecast it. What's it, no, go, oh, wait. But on the highway, honey. I'm okay, nah, don't know, honey. Guess all my hair, nah, nah. Me gonna, as soon as, but on the key, hey. My hair, me chista. Like all my hair, nah, nah. This all, no, oh. This on the honey, gay, the Omaha, not a hoe with ya. He could no. Hello, ne, hi, ma. Hello, me, hena, hello, say, the hona. Ga, say, the table. O cone, ma, aye. Ga, cone, ga, sata, ma, ho. Be mone. We sooner. The four, ga, cone, ta, ma, eh. The sooner, honey. Me kona pa pa eto la kota me onhe na he isune ke ma ma anona apone he chena tasune now I'm gonna turn it back into English real quick, and it's so easy to say it in our language and beautiful, and it only means a small sentiment in English. What I said was, had I been there. And had you been involved with your women, like Nally and Christina Redbird and her mother and my adopted mom down there, had you got with a lot of these women and brought this social circle into a direction where you'll invite outside help, because those three women, Nally, Johanna, and Christina, stepped up with one of your outgoing, or maybe he got reelected, or maybe he didn't, but one of your outgoing tribal representatives, Dana. And Dana, I can't remember his last name, he was on your council. He was the one looking into the matters of the kids when my people got me involved. And that's why I kept going down there to aid them in any means necessary. Even taking food to them and doing my part to serve my Maheo people. Without them, Maheo himself will be condemning me. No te se me esta achune machista, I would never be in this category speaking our language, thanks to Grandpa and the people that gave it to him for his blood. My family's there are the Chasing Timbers, the Dull Knives, okay? The Smalls and Robinsons. These are my family. Those are my blood from my grandfather's side, and now my adopted mother. This is what I'm explaining to you in a good way, because you can do this now. You got my little sister, Bernice. You also have another sister of mine, good lady friend of mine named Jenny Menihai from Montana in your neck of the woods up there in the Blackfeet Reservation. Then there's some other grandmothers out there in Ethiopia. The Machpiatho people, the Sohamet, those people too, you can use them.
Mm-hmm.
All of you women, if you come together for something that is very powerful and productive, and you have to, regardless if they kicking your ass, beating you up, locking you up, build strength off of that. This mm-hmm. is how Chinupa does it. Okay? Chinupa builds the strength of people cutting me down, doing it all, but I still stand on my 2 feet before them, and I don't back off, because my protection is Wakatanka Kichi Manetu Maheo Nagadawi Unchi Maka Mikuna, you know, my grandmother, the earth, and all the four-legged winged creatures. That's what I got. But getting into the traditional parts of what you talked about, we have become so badly assimilated with white philosophical standards, white think, white supremacy, white inevitable behavior, that now they have deemed us we are going to take a struggle getting it back to the way it used to be. And the only way it can get back to where it used to be is you women need to step up and tell the men what to do. I'm tired of all this because over here in Lakota country, we're a matriarchal people. We're all matrilineal. The woman tells us what to do. And so I lost my mother. I lost my grandmother. I lost quite a few of my aunties. And these are the elements that we constantly try to tell. I've been in the boat, and I've been back there fighting white supremacy all my life. Now I'm 63, pushing 64. In 7 years, I'm 70 years old. But I still see the big picture of where it came from. And so is there any other callers on that need to address something to a similar situation, what Jenny has brought out from the Northern Reservation.
There's a couple of callers on. They've been on for about 20 minutes. I haven't had a chance with. I was waiting for a break. Do you want to introduce yourselves, please?
Yeah, this is Jenny from Blackfeet Country here in Montana.
Glad to have you on.
Okay, and then we have one. It's 313. Can you introduce yourself, please? See, this is what happens. I don't want to leave them out, but at the same time, they're not saying anything when we ask them to introduce themselves.
That's right. I talked to a lot of them earlier this afternoon after you and I had our conversation, sister. And at the end of the show, before we close, I got to tell you some good news, okay, sister?
Okay.
I got to tell you something. Yes. But anyway, the 313 number, please keep in mind, folks, when you call in, introduce your name and what state you're calling from. So that way my sister can acknowledge you. We're going to have one more show to deal with because there are certain things that sister has to take care of too. And this is aimed at all of us because in time, you're all going to face something like this if you don't get back into the basic circle of life. And that love has to build its foundation. So Jenny, many hikes from Browning, Montana area, the Blackfeet girl. There's another Jenny Pipe from Lame Deer, Montana, that was discussing a lot of the behavior of what, you know, pedophiles were doing to children and so forth and what's happening within the Northern Cheyenne Reservation in Lame Deer. So I had to jump in different areas because Bernice came at it from one side. But she was aiming at it from the way a white man sees things that will throw people off, not putting it in a traditional capacity of explaining it. Because we think and act like white people today, but nothing gets done. Nothing gets done. And you all know that from every reservation. I don't give a shit if it's just Pine Ridge and elsewhere. We will never accomplish anything if we don't think like we used to do it and put the blame back on them. This whole ideology that falls behind where we can't get ahead is because we have become like them now. And all of these atrocities that have been forced upon us through sexual abuse and mental anguish and all of this, even physical abuse, we have become exactly what the white man wanted us to be. Parasites, savages, heathens, all those descriptions that give him the upper hand to continue to serve political endeavors to neutralize our human rights as them people of color.
Agreed.
And that's what's happening. And so I'm going to wheel it back open again and add on to wherever you want to start from as we move forward with this. Go right ahead.
Yeah. I was listening to what Jenny Pipe was sharing. And the more and more she was explaining more and more and more, the same thought and feeling I got as you. Well, how many times, you know, you had one up there? And if all of that, you know, would have been put out there, whatever Max would have known, you know, that's what kind of surprised me about it. Oh, geez, you know. everything that she's saying that was going on there, and what, I mean, it just, that's too much. If she herself, like, she said that they're trying to float her off the reservation because she's being too vocal or telling the truth about something, okay? She said, yeah, if that's really going on, somebody needs to say something. We all know that. But the thing is that when she says that even it being due to spiritual abuse, so how does she know that? How does she understand that part? You know, we know there's a lot that's going on as far as abuse and spiritual abuse and all that. We understand that. But if she was to really been that woman to think and feel that way, like she, you know, she's saying, well, she feels like she's more like God opened the door for her. Okay. If she really wants to think and feel that, you know, that was that time for that, and a Norway will look at it, okay, why didn't you take a pipe, fill a pipe, and go to see the woman, okay, and offer them that, to sit down with them, and they would have understood. But you're talking about those women that you're telling her, you know, that are there, you know, that she could have went and talked with, and I say that too, you know, she could have did that, and I mean, there's all kinds of things that she, you know, wants us to know, you know, wants us to hear or what, you know. But I don't know. Huh? As far as women, you're always telling us that, you know, we need to be women again and all that, okay? So, you know, as being women, if we were to say what we wanted, would the men really listen? That's the part that gets me, you know, all the time. And how many years has it been going on, even on our reservation? Every reservation. Not only reservations in the cities, everywhere. You know, but when it comes to us, it's on our reservation. There's murders, a lot of unsolved everything on ours, too. And we could talk about it, you know, the similar things and everything that's going on, but what is the answer? When it comes to all of that, what is the answer?
And how do we get started?
Can I ask a question?
Can I jump in there for a minute?
I just had a quick question. I know that you probably are all familiar with the native on the Facebook groups. You're probably familiar with the Native Lives Matter.
And you know, I'm gonna contest the issue with that with you, sister, because I ran into them. That's been about a month and a half ago. There was issues pertaining to. Well, let me just kind of let you finish up real quick, and then I'll answer it.
I was just going to say there's a lot of Native groups in there. There's one that has thousands, and there's some that have less. But there's a lot of different ones on there, and I was just wondering if you were all familiar with them.
Listening audience, are you guys and all the participants that tonight, are you guys familiar with that?
No.
Native Lives Matter Coalition, the Native Lives Matter Awake and United, Native Lives Matter, the Native Life Matter Youth Alliance, the Native Lives Matter 2 NLM West, and then there's the Native Lives Matter period. But I was just curious.
I've never heard of
We also have my brother Bryce. I just heard my little brother Bryce Inderwood introduce himself just a few seconds ago, while you were describing them. Bryce, you there?
Yeah, they have what she's mentioning about all these organizations. There's a lot of organizations out there.
Yeah.
Some of them are like 501c3s and.
All right.
Process. A lot of them aren't, you know, they're kind of like traditional knowledge and stuff, a lot of them aren't coming from that root, you know. They're coming from more of a blend, you know, of education and hanging on to the language and culture. Like even NARP, you know, Native American Rights Fund, National Congress of American Indians, that deal with some of these issues of historical trauma, suicide, and sexual assault abuse. You know, a lot of these organizations are out there, but the bigger ones would be like NARP and NCI because they involve tribal governments. A lot of youth, like UNITY, the youth programs in the United Nations, you know, 15 to 24-year-olds, those are important to get the youth involved. 15 to 24 is recognized as youth at the United Nations. A lot of our tribal governments don't know that. 1974, when the indigenous people from the Western Hemisphere met on Standing Rock, and they were kind of like Maateki, the, you know, church age, English education, full blood. There's about 5,000 that met. And that's where Russell and the movement got to moving into the United Nations in 1977. And now the doors are open in 2000 with the United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. So when you go to the United Nations in New York and you participate in that forum, Bolivia, there's some strong Central and South American countries, indigenous governments that are strong. And they want to, like the Mayans, they want to participate with us in the north here. Mind of that eagle and the condor meeting, that prophecy's already come true. So these doors are really open, and we're talking about one facet about trauma. So if you know where the trauma comes from, if you see the root of the problem, and Chalupa mentioned going back to when the Vikings came, but a little earlier when we have a World War II veteran, she's 100 years old, she's always been talking about historical trauma. And when we had our Lakota Elders Council going, she was advocate, always talking about historical trauma. She was a nurse in World War II, talk about lateral violence perpetrated against each other on the ground and boarding school. She was always talking about that. And if you look at 1871, when they quit making treaties, there's a very dark period. Those 20 years up to 1891, there was a genocidal craze of scorched earth on the indigenous people, original peoples here in America. In 1891, they took the children. That was very hard because they put them in boarding schools. And if you listen to Dennis Banks' account on It's a Good Day to Die, that documentary about his boarding school trauma, you know, in 1891, they outlawed our ceremonies. And that genocidal campaign was Wounded Knee, the mass murder with the Army Medals of Honor, you know, rewarding those seven cavalry elements, killing women and children, and burying them in the mass grave. And this is an interpretation of what I'm talking about. This 100-year-old nurse, World War II veteran, that's still alive, was always saying, back in 1999, when we come together in the Butte and we had a big meeting, we wanted to save our language. You know, we wanted to hang on to our language, and we wanted to provide a curriculum for the so that our language would never end, like they ended our ceremonies, but at that time, 1891. So even from 1891 to 1934, there was a unilateral oppression. And you can see these acts, these statutes that were detrimental to our people, as families, the Oshbas. So in 34, when they started the IRA template government all the way up into 1950, then that Korean War, and then that termination era. Again, you know, these are traumas upon the people, upon the families, upon the children. And even in that era, in the 50s, when they discovered uranium, national security, you know, alcohol was legalized. And our, according to my, out there, you know, our people bought out the liquor stores. And our men, women were coming back from Korea. And during this time, I just mentioned the Indian Wars, World War One, World War Two, Korea, Vietnam, War on Terrorism, on and on, you know. So what they discovered in World War Two was methamphetamine to make the soldier be a soldier for 7 days straight fighting. And that was a counter, over-the-counter drug. Now it's something that's killing and creating murder here on our reservations across this country. Heroin is coming back. So when you look at the root of the problem, this trauma, a lot of it's war trauma too. As you heard Lanny speaking of post-traumatic stress. But if you look at this alcohol influence on every reservation, law enforcement is dealing with 95%+ of the problem is alcohol related. And we have murder on our reservations ever since methamphetamine came in. We had some Lakotas that have our ways. They had powerful visions, like Lanny was speaking of. They had visions of this killer coming into the reservation. So they came and warned us. They said, we're going to every reservation, tribal government, to let them know that methamphetamine is coming and it's a killer. It's going to kill our people. Well, it has, and it still is. So these things are straight road from border school, war trauma, and into what this elder was talking about, historical trauma, lateral violence. And that's what I heard earlier. But if you listen to these visions of these young people, like Martin Luther King, you know, I have a dream, even Farrakhan. But for us, the root of the problem, that's what I'm talking about. And if we're going to save the he calls it the nuclear family. For us, it should be the Pajuta family, you know, because every family had that knowledge of medicine. Now, scientifically studied alcohol, you go into a blackout, that's a form of amnesia. And scientifically, they studied this to where they seen the spirit leave the body. And then another force entering the body. So I'll give you a story of a man that woke up in jail. He said, call my wife, come get me. And they told him, well, your wife is dead. You cut her throat. And this guy is a considered a humble guy, but he drank. And that night he took his wife's life and didn't even know it. So this alcohol, this amnesia, this spirit leaving the body, and another demonic spirit entering with these portals being open. And I mentioned this before about the dark matter study in the Black Hills. These are our sacred lands. They're being desecrated every day. Land, air, water, life, desecration every day. And then the CERN, that Hellman Collider, they discovered the God particle. And there they were doing these satanic, these demonic rituals at the portal where this huge collider is in CERN, Switzerland. So we have a committee on to end the racial discrimination at the United Nations. We had a movement here of racism and hate, and now they're considering, I was saying that, the root of the problem. We have some hate groups here in the Black Hills and in the Sioux Falls areas. They're identified. They're located. These guys push this racism and hatred. They push for war all the time. and we're pushing for peace, even amongst our heart and amongst our own families. And that's where we have to bring medicine back into our families and heal them. Woko kweke, yeah. Nawaka, yeah. If you understand what that means, we had Wakami Chasha, Namiya. We had the communicators with the Creator. I'm going to give you a real story right now about Woko Kweka, Nawaka. In 1904, in Kakasapa, had one block there, Matoka, Chanopo Pagi, Monke, Humblecha, Chael. Wakantaka, Dokishke, Tamuk Tele, Unchi Namakaka, Akugele, Shamukte, Slowawa Chi, Is the Makawi Chuanchi, Ayustanwa, Ibabnikte, Nia Etia, Taku, Makuo, Is Taku, Okachni, Rumayo, Is Do, Nawache, Etise, Umbrechawa. Matropaka. Nale, we charge them on block. Ekaka Sapa. Blackout. He was a Wakami Chasha. He has a count, and Blackout speaks. But in 1904, he got baptized in the Catholic Church. And I'm talking from 1891 to 1934. Still a very dark period for us. It wasn't the scorched earth. 1871 to 1891, the scorched earth war that the United States still fights today. But he come out, a sister come out, and his family, his Takoza, come out. And they made a documentary called Nicholas Blackout, Journey on the Red Road to Sainthood. I think you might have heard of it. It changed General Harney Peak to Blackout Peak. Hey, what's there, lo? Hey, we talk about now. Hey, what can we chase? La Cote, Pejuta, what can we chase? Hecha, no Kashmira. They recognize Blackout Pete now. That's right. That's good to do. He was our holy man. He had a vision, just like Martin Luther King had a dream. And these visions are powerful for all the races and all the colors. But for us, La Cote here in this Makoche, what is original instructions from our Creator? What does that mean? And the root of the problem to address it. I'll hit you, Tim.
Okay. You know, my little brother gave a good understanding about some of the knowledge of oral history. And now I'm going to answer that question to what my sister Leona was addressing about all these groups that were out there on the internet and social media where Indigenous Lives Matter, okay? And my little brother took a crack of a good opening sentiment to it. They all became 501c3s, okay? They received federal grant money from the federal government. Now, the reason I'm saying this on this open intent, because I met a lot of them. And a lot of them still, even though they said Indigenous Lives Matter, they were still focusing on street paraphernalia. What do I mean by the addressing street paraphernalia? Street paraphernalia, I'm talking about marijuana, okay? Now, here's the biggest catch. People are going to be for it, others ain't, all right? When you go back into ancient history and look at when the first Europeans arrived in our continent, from 1492. Anyone going back further to 1313, like the Vikings, they didn't bring drugs. Okay? So those four ships from the Pinta, the Mina, and the Santa Maria, and the Mayflower, they brought this stuff here. Okay? So now it's all prevalent as an epidemic because America has always practiced and perfected colonial policies to neutralize human rights, to impose its own safeguard and methods to destroy you within and without. We've been expressing this from day one. We know about cultural involvements of our traditions and so forth. That is true. That can save us. But what I'm going to answer completely to what Sister Leona was bringing about, all these groups I've always said this in the past, and even in the United Nations when I was up there, I'm the, probably about the maybe 10th or maybe even further down, maybe clear to the 20s or 30s, of a person, individual, you know, Lakota Ixchewichash, a common man and the leader of the Dog Soldier Society, that brought the United Nations Inspector General to the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. Her name was Georgia Passorelli. I was gifted the UN flag because of my work that I do to expose corruption, abuse, violence, etc. in white man's terminology. What I'm getting to answer all this, when you become a 501c3, you're doing things for the enemy rather than doing it for your people. And there are certain criteria that you have to accomplish in order for you to continue to receive that grant money while the rest go without. That's what's happening to this day in 2020 as we come into another year coming up within the next few days, because December is just right around the corner. So as a control wheel, Metakiepi people, the abuse of power continues to show its enforced conditions on the value and calculated life caused by the white race, physically, cultural, and erasing us, period, okay? The reason why I say this constantly all the time, because they deny us our culture, our roles, our physical connections, psychological, political, you name it. Whatever name you want to give it from the white man's language, you are obligated to do so. There's cultural abuse, there's sexual abuse, there's spiritual abuse. All of it is enforced poverty, okay? It denies you from culturally using your roles to be those people to free yourself in an independent structure. That's how the terroristic violence began. Now, in order for us to get away from that, when you get so uptight in your body, and you start getting so mad, and all of a sudden you calm yourself down because if you make a choice that isn't really great for you, anxiety steps in. What does anxiety make the body do? It makes the body twitch, right? Up in your head, you have a blood vessel or something, it'll start twitching. That's anxiety. That firmly is established because of how we're using the language that doesn't belong to us, because this language is evil. Folks, get that in our hearts. It's an evil language. If we could get back into the elements of our traditional kinships, of our everyday existence, the way our ancestors been do it, you will see that we still have a connection to our Earth Mother and all the four-legged and the winged creatures, even the Great Mystery and Mother Earth, both of them themselves. And this will give us the opportunity to serve each other as that people that once were free. Now we're living in a, you know, atmosphere of fear. So when you look at that firm system that was created and maintained and controlled by the government, there is no virtues that will give you a traditional element to pick back what is missing because you don't want it. My little brother just explained something about how the wars were used. Drugs, meth, and so forth, okay? My grandfather Roy was in the First World War. And him and the Germans went barrel to barrel the way wars used to be before all these new technologies and chemical warfare were created. They went barrel to barrel of a gun. Well, today, they don't have to use them kind of, you know, heinous threats. All they do is describe it in a pill, tablet, liquid, and any other mechanism they can do to cultivate and culturalize people. And it's here. So the entire system of that abuse becomes a multi-factored complex that threatens your everyday thinking ability to allow that abuse to be destroyed within oneself. God, hear me on that, folks. This is how our people are losing themselves. And we talk about the youth. We talk about these generations that are coming, okay? But let's ask this question. When you look at that sacred pipe, the sacred feather, the four-legged, yourself, okay? Yourself. We would never, ever have gotten to this preconditioned behavior that was imposed on us through abuse, sexual behavior, all of it, and above and then some. This is what the white race has done. And we're not blaming him. We have to take that approach to blame that man once and for all. When you start penetrating that blame onto that man, it will force him to surrender to himself. We have to think Lakota, Cheyenne, Arapaho, Blackfeet, Nez Perce, Navajo, any other, even African, Mashika. We all have to think like the way our ancestors once did. But we keep inbreeding with white philosophical standards through white education in English. That's what's preventing us. And I can say this again. I'm one of the few individuals that brought the human rights officer and human rights general on abuse, Georgia Passarelli, to the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation when this documentary was created called Red Cry. Jenny Pipe, if you're still on air, do take the opportunity to get on YouTube, type in Red Cry, R-E-D-C-R-Y, Red Cry, and look at that documentary that my grandmothers on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation created. That documentary became a threat to the American government, and they start trying to outlaw it. And since that documentary came out in 2013, it's been under attack. And half of them grandparents that participated in it are no more. This is what happens. They no longer have to use the gun anymore. But systematically, racism is going to continue to breed because we're not blaming them. If the great mystery walked into your house right now, as we're talking on this radio show, and said, have you ever blamed your fellow man? What your answer going to be? You
yes.
See, those commandments that were in the Bible, okay? Listen now, listen. Those commandments, everything's bad. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt. But Americans do it every day. Every Ten Commandment is broken, okay? So now, if that individual did come here and came into your home and asked you, are you a Christian? What's your answer going to be? If he came to me, and I'm philosophically open to that, and I'm opinionated, if the great mystery, which they call God, Jesus, whoever his name is in the English vocabulary, came to me and said, are you a Christian? I'll have to deny him and say, no, I'm not. I'm a Lakota. I have my own. And his answer would be, yes, you are. You have your own way of worshiping me. And you have an own person that I worship. But I'm giving you that as an understanding. You think psychologically, fairly with your heart. That way it controls the brain to think freely. We don't do that anymore because we're always all trying to outdo each other because we took on the white man's element of education and way of life. And when Pope Nicholas V was setting out the Portuguese people to come out and destroy people, they did a hell of a job. Look at it. When you look out to the East Coast from Maine to Florida and you come inwards, multitudes and multitudes of native tribes lived in that region in the eastern, you know, atmosphere of our great country known as Turtle Island, and they're gone. They are gone. How do you tell the white man to put them back? How do you, in tribal government and any other forms, treaty councils, tell them to put them back? Because I know I've been asking these questions all my life because everybody keeps cutting off differently. But we use that man for religious purposes, gainful powwows, and everything. Now he even controls that. You did that, folks. You all did that. Because our ancestors have been saying, stand on freedom. That's the only independence you have to free yourself. We don't do it. We don't do it. I know this. You show me, and I'll shut up and give everybody a chance to say it all. And I'll remain quiet. You show me where it's recorded, where it's even on film. Or there's a tabloid written where the Lakota people, the Cheyenne, the Arapaho, the Nez Perce, the Navajo, all these native people invaded countries and forced their way of life upon them. And you show me where the black folks had did it from Africa, invaded other countries and forced nothing but the African way of life upon the people of color that are white. You show me where that exists and I'll shut up. I'll shut up and allow you guys to carry on. Because what I'm saying here is the truth. It's all we got left. A lot of our ancestors from past and present are leaving day in and day out because they don't have to use a gun now. It's chemical dependency. It's a warfare. That's what you call propitiate fundamental practice. How many of you in the listening audience know what propitiate means? Gets quiet, isn't it? We all know what genocide is, but what does propitiate mean?
I have no idea.
You see, I was over in those other countries where they use that term propitiate, and that's how they exposed their behavior towards the opposite color of the white race. Propitiate fundamental practice is stronger than genocide. Why? Because it eliminates a race of mankind and animals where neither of them can reproduce themselves. Genocide, on the other hand, creates half-breeds. Duh. That's the hard part that people in the philosophical standards don't get. And I've learned this important factor from my grandfather. When he was in the First World War and when my dad was in the Korean conflict, God rest both their souls. I'm only using that term, God, to address them. But those two men were extraordinary because they seen what the military, the white man's military, were doing to little children, boys and girls, in the name of invasion. And sodomizing came from the Greeks. Don't forget that. Rape came from the Romans. Don't forget that. They were even sleeping with animals, them Romans. That cataristic behavior is all here in America now. Because they're all inbred with it. You show me where there's a pure-blood white man and I'll shut up. I'll rest my case. You'll never find it. Because they too are mixed. And the great mystery is struggling to keep us in the freedom of independence. And with that, I give it back to all of you because we're running time short.
We have 2.5 minutes.
With
Jenny Pipe, are you still on?
Yeah, I just wanted to say something.
You have 2.5 minutes.
All right. Okay, I'll hurry up. So this is Jenny, and you know I'm very, very proud to be a half breed here. What I'm getting to, and I just want to cut to the point, is we have all these white people that we're blaming, but in the meantime, reality right now is Indians are hurting other Indians on this reservation. If I would have known, I could have filled up a pipe and took it over to someone and asked for help. That would have been great. All those ladies and everybody you guys mentioned have sit at my dinner table. I know all of them personally. They tell me I'm doing a good job. What I'm trying to do right now on the Cheyenne Truth, and if you think about it, my page is kind of Indigenous Lives Matter too, because I'm bringing up facts and raw topics that no one wants to talk about. Chinupa, when you talked about don't get pumped, stay strong, that's exactly what I'm doing. When that happened to me, I didn't cower down. I didn't talk about it. I kind of laughed it off, and it made me stronger. I'm trying to bring awareness and let all these pedophiles know, hey, there's a lot of people that know what you're doing. Let the victims share their story with whoever, heal a little bit, so we can stop that generational curse, hopefully. But I don't know what to do when it is drugs and alcohol, but then you got the Native Americans standing on the street on a dry reservation with an open bottle, and then you got all these sacred ways, but they're the ones that are hurting the people. And so
Jenny,
what I'm doing is
Jenny, we're running all on time. I'm not going to cut you off, but I want you to bring the same subject back up tomorrow night. Can you do that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else want his closing mug? We've got a few minutes, about a minute and a half or so. Man, this is a bad show. Come on, folks. Is anybody going to say their last remark real quick?
Nope. I'm just happy that Jenny Pipe had a chance.
Yes,
to come
I am
on.
Too. I am too. All of it's good tonight. It's a hell of a show. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
That's what I want to hear. You women did it. Chinupa can't do it by himself. Thanks, my brother Bryce. Thanks, my little brother Lanny. I love you guys for coming on. And, I'm going to give you this closing song, and I'll see you guys all tomorrow at 5, okay? This is our song. Wakantakaya, hey, yalo, pielo, hey, hey. Wakat hanka hela yo pielo hey hey hey. Wakat hanka hela lo pielo hey hey hey. Daku wakaye lo hey lo pielo hey hey hey. Daku wakaye lo hey lo pielo hey hey hey. Konka silaya wakata la hey lo pielo hey hey hey. Daku waka yelo hey alo pi yelo hey hey hey. Daku waka yelo hey alo pi yelo hey hey. Oya te kile chon waste ki hey alo pi yelo hey 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 ho. Okay, I love you all, and I look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow on the same show. And thank you again, Sister Leona. I'm going to call you right back with some good news, okay? I will call you back, and thank you all for participation tonight. Okay.
Thanks for having us. Good night.
Good night, everyone. We're now closing the show.